Our passage of scripture this evening is Psalm 77. Psalm 77. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea. Your path was in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This psalm is about memories and about history, and particularly about the memories of God's great deeds, even memories of better days for the psalmist. You know, Asaph is Asaph, and David was David, and Asaph is the chief and the singer of these days that are not quite what they were in David's days or in the days before. And I remember my own memories being a chaplain in Okinawa Christian School. I was very shy, and much more shy than I was when I first came here. And one of the tasks I was given when I first started that job was to promote the King's Players concert. They were a group that came all the way from Taiwan to Okinawa, and I was to put up posters and call various businesses and call the other schools and make a big deal about it because they were very talented. But when I was told to promote it at the very beginning of my job, and I had many other jobs to do, and I was very shy to go knocking doors and promoting and putting up posters and stuff, I remember all I did was made two phone calls to two of the other schools. And very shy when I did that, didn't hardly said anything, just told them that the King's Players were coming. And the day before the King's Players were coming, the superintendent called me into his office and says, what have you done? I haven't seen any posters or anything up for the King's Players concert, and they're coming tomorrow, and what have you done? And I was a shy person, but I was also an honest person, so I didn't lie to him. I said, all I did was make two phone calls to this school and to that school. And he was so mad at me. He says, this is our big thing. We wanted to make it bigger this year than ever, and you've been lazy, and you haven't done your job, and you've been messed up for us, and all this. And he's yelling at me and yelling at me. He says, I said, I've been praying a lot, and I'm praying tonight. And he says, prayer doesn't do any good if you're not actually doing stuff. So that night, I prayed the whole night that this Kingsplayers concert, by some miracle, would be successful. And the next day, the whole place was packed. Thousands of people were there at this Kingsplayers concert. And after it was done, the superintendent came up to me, and he's begging me, please forgive me. He's saying, I should have believed you. I'm sorry. Your prayers, they worked. But I've never really seen a prayer that answered like that since then. Otherwise, we'd be full here, wouldn't we? God answers prayers sometimes like that, but it doesn't seem all the time. And I remember that, and I think, oh, how I long for that to happen again. And there's been times when I prayed a lot, and still it hasn't happened like that. And that's what Asaph is doing here, I believe. Asaph's cry and prayer is about the pains of now. Why aren't you working, Lord, like you did in the past, is what he's saying. He's saying, I cried out to God with my voice. To God with my voice. He says it twice because he wants us to know how fervent his prayer was. And he gave ear to me. He's saying, God did hear me. God heard my prayer. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing, meaning he's doing what Paul said, which Paul came after him, but he was praying without ceasing. He continually prayed. My soul refused to be comforted, meaning other people couldn't come alongside him and comfort him in his trouble. And then he says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. The word cried here, and the repeated phrase, to God with my voice, tell us Asaph is praying with great emotion. He's praying with great fervency. God gave ear to Asaph. John Collings says, at the second knock, meaning when Asaph was knocking on that door, when he was crying with his voice, God did hear him the second time. And the Lord has heard me, he says. The second knock, the door of grace flew open, and the Lord heard me. So we know this is a prayer that was answered for Asaph, but we don't hear about the answer right away. The prayer is stirred up and fired by the heat of trouble. The pain kept Asaph from sleeping. Insomnia kept him praying without ceasing. Have you ever had that happen? I mean, at nighttime when you can't sleep, have you ever had trouble sleeping? Because of trouble in any way, I've had that. And it sometimes I did pray the whole night because there was nothing else to do. My pain was too much to read or do anything else. All I could do was pray. And my hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. Our natural tendency when our brother and sister is in trouble is to try to comfort them. But he says, my soul refused to be comforted. You know, have you ever gone up to somebody like that? You're trying to comfort them. You're trying to get them in a better mood, but it just won't happen. Matthew Henry said about this, about verse 2, he says, in the day of trouble I sought the Lord. Days of trouble must be days of prayer. And in days of inward trouble, especially when God seems to have withdrawn from us, we must seek him and seek till we find him. In the day of his trouble, he did not seek for the diversions of business or recreation, meaning he didn't go and watch TV. Now, there wasn't TV in those days, but he didn't go and watch TV. He didn't try to do something fun to shake off the trouble that way, but he sought God and his favor and his grace. Those who are under trouble of mind must not think to drink it away, meaning get drunk, or laugh it away, but pray it away. That's the only way we can truly get out of trouble. Memory of better times was what troubled Asaph. Times of miracles, times of God's might. He says, I remembered God and was troubled. And you'll see what he's talking about is he remembered when God would do great and mighty things. And he wasn't seeing that at this point. Asaph's cry is about the best days being gone. Verses 4 through 9, it says, you hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Salah. Verses 4 through 9. Asaph is both speechless and sleepless. Verse 4. He says God holds his eyelids open and he cannot speak. He's unhappy. He's the nostalgic historian. Verse 5. I have considered the days of old, the ancient times, you know, back in Moses' days or even David's days when bigger things were happening. Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever in a day. We'd live the life we choose. We'd fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our ways. Everybody thinks back to olden days. But here he's thinking of olden days when God was mighty. And he's singing. He's meditating at night. And he emphasizes in these verses forever, cast off forever, mercy ceased forever, promises fail forever. Well, did God really cast them off forever, or had mercy ceased forever, or had God's promises failed forever? Obviously not. But that's the way it seemed to Asaph. He questions God's mind, meaning he had forgotten, and his heart to be gracious. And he sees only the anger of God. In everything that's going on around him, that's what he sees. That it seems that God is angry. God is ignoring his prayers. God is bringing trouble upon him. And all he can see is God's anger. Number 3, Asaph's memory, though, is good. And includes what he knows to be truth about God. Despite the present pain, Asaph is determined to remember. He says in verse 10, and I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. My anguish, literally my infirmity, my problem. He's saying, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord. It's my problem. I'm not blaming you, Lord. I know you're good. Somehow, this is my fault. That's what he's saying. And at this point in the psalm, Asaph is realizing it is his fault, it's not God's. It's his misinterpretation of the world, not God's mismanagement of the world. You know, God always is doing good, but sometimes we don't see it because we see so many trials and difficulties. He saw only God's anger, verse 9, but God's anger is righteous and it is justice. He is determined here. He says, but I will remember. He has a determined memory. And I believe here he's saying he determined to study. He determined to meditate on the history. He believed that there was a right understanding here somewhere, and he wanted that. So he says, I remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember your wonders of old. C.H. Spurgeon said, memory is a fit handmaid for faith. When faith has its 7 years of famine, memory is like Joseph in Egypt and opens her granaries. You know, there is that place where we can go, which is in the past, in our memories of what God does and has done for us, to know that God is still there, even though it seems sometimes he's not. Moses' life, when you look back at it, was not all miraculous and merriment. Yes, there was the joy of Exodus 15, but if you look at Exodus 16, Exodus 15 is the time they crossed the Red Sea and they were singing about it. the next day. But chapter 16 starts with the people complaining, we were better off in Egypt as slaves. And Moses led them through the wilderness. Notice Asaph starts meditating. He says, on all God's work, not just the missed miracles. He says, I will meditate on all your work, verse 12. If he meditated enough on all God's work, he would have remembered that God's people were slaves in Egypt a long time before they were freed from Egypt. You know, the most of the years, 430 years they were in Egypt. And most of those years they were in slavery. There was only one year where they had all the plagues upon Egypt, and the actual escape from Egypt was within that one year. And so the 429 years, maybe some of the at the very beginning were still Joseph's time, but Joseph didn't live for 400 years. And after Joseph's time, the Pharaoh forgot it, Joseph, and put the Hebrews in slavery. So they were in slavery a long time. Were they praying? Were they hoping God would free them from that bad situation? I'm sure they were for a long time, and many of them were there, and they died without receiving answers to their prayers. But their prayers were heard, and eventually Israel was freed from Egypt. But all that Asaph could see is they crossed the Red Sea. He doesn't see they were slaves for so long. In the day of prosperity, it says in Ecclesiastes 7:14, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider, surely God has appointed one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that happens after him. Asaph's occupation included evangelism and also teaching. He says, I will talk of all your deeds, verse 12c. A full heart due to godly meditation will surely overflow to the benefits of others. Says David, writes in Psalm 23, my cup runs over. If God is filling us, if God is blessing us, if God is teaching us, even in the midst of trouble, and we see this with Asaph, what comes out of his pains? The psalm comes out of his pain. It's God's word and God himself. We also have a feast, delicious things to share. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him, Psalm 34:8. And so Asaph is seeing these things. There was a place to meet with God, even in the worst of times. He says, your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? He started to remember and found God again in the sanctuary. Fourth, Asaph rejoices in history, knowing God can still save and will. Verses 16 to 20, he says, the waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed. The arrows are lightning, aren't they? Flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And there he's obviously talking about the dividing of the Red Sea. And there he seems to be saying there was this great storm all around that. But the people weren't rained on. They walked over on dry land. Lightning all around them. Storm all around them. Waters can be scary things. But they're afraid of God. And so are our trials. God's able to take our trials away. He's able to walk us through the midst of them like he walked the people through the Red Sea. You know, it wasn't easy for them as they were standing by the front of the Red Sea, seeing the Egyptian army coming after them. They were scared. They thought they were dead. Dead ducks there. They had no defense. They weren't ready for God to open up the Red Sea. And that's what Asaph, I think, is seeing right now. he's seeing those people been slaves for 400 years. They had a lot of trouble. And at this point, until that very point that God opened up the sea, they didn't know that was going to happen. It had storms and lightning all around it. It's when it looked bad, that's when he opened a way. Storms are the same scary way, but God controls them, verses 17 and 18. And God's path is through the midst of the waters. Through the dangers, through the difficult times, he takes us as he's taking us, like taking us on through dry land in the middle of the troubles. The miracle, meaning the miracle of parting the Red Sea, had slavery and hardship and seeming danger as all its background. It wasn't all just miracle after miracle every day, so they had easy times. There were a lot of hard times into making the miracle as great as it was. If there weren't any slavery, there wouldn't have been any let my people go. If there weren't the slavery in the difficult times, there wouldn't have been all those 10 miracles trying to convince Pharaoh to let them go. And if it weren't for Pharaoh being stubborn and coming after them, there would have been no need to open up the Red Sea. And I think Asaph is seeing that. He's seeing all these troubles all ultimately will end with you opening up the Red Sea, even for me. Even if it meant that he didn't see any blessing until he died, when the seas of heaven were opened for him. Thou, source of every blessing, chase my sorrows, cheer my heart, till in heaven thy smiles possessing, life and joy and peace impart. That's a little poem I found by James Smith. It's talking about going through this world. God's the source of every blessing we have here. He can chase away our sorrows and he can cheer our hearts even in the midst of troubles. Till in heaven, thy smiles possessing. When we're in heaven, we'll see his smiling face. Life and joy and peace is part. He's saying, while we're waiting, still give us life and joy and peace in the middle of our struggles. I think Asaph, it doesn't say in this psalm that he had any great miracle happen. I don't know. I'm thinking this psalm might have been before the last one in his experience, because the last one, it does seem to relate to a miracle, unless this is a different Asaph. There was more than one Asaph. So here this Asaph is still looking for the miracle, and yet he's trusting God that it will happen. He's trusting God even if it doesn't happen. He still has God in this world. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Psalm 77. We thank you for the things that it teaches. We thank you that you're a God who stays with us in good times and in bad. And Father, we thank you that you're with us as we travel through this dark and difficult world. And Father, we have blessings even here, and we have miracles even here. And we see and read about those in Scripture. And we'd long for those to be everyday things. And yet, if we look at Scripture carefully, we see they're not everyday things. They happen at the end of trials, at the end of difficulties. And Father, we trust you that that will happen again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.